set a good level on your voice by stating your name and title at UW.
My name is Dr. Richard L. Brown, and I am a family physician with the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.
I guess I might ask by start by asking you what were the ground rules as you understood them when you agreed to serve on this working panel?
When I agreed to serve on the panel, I believed that meetings would be called far enough in advance that there'd be a reasonable chance I could attend. I assumed that policy documents would be distributed well enough in advance of deadlines that there would be an opportunity for constructive discussion, feedback, and modification of policy positions, and neither of those conditions were met.
And was there a DOT person who was involved in the meetings with oversight capacity? How did that work?
Well, the person I got emails from inviting me to join the committee, and then subsequent emails about policy documents and future meetings was Randy Romanski at the DOT. I've never actually had the opportunity to meet with him face-to-face because the meetings were all called within a couple of days, and my schedule was just too packed to allow me to attend at the last minute.
Sure. So you were unable to attend any meetings.
That's correct. This happened over a period of a couple of years. There were very few meetings called, and when they were called, they were never called enough in advance to allow my colleagues or me to attend.
Speak to the, and I want to make sure I'm stating this correctly, in the AP story, the concern that the Tavern League was the only named non-governmental partner working on the plan and that that's a conflict of interests.
Well, that's certainly one concern. The members of the Tavern League have a financial conflict of interest that they certainly want to sell as much alcohol as possible, and I know most Tavern League members want to do so responsibly, but I think the reason that I was invited to serve on the committee, and so were several of my colleagues, is that there at least was the desire to have the committee seem balanced. But yes, in a recent policy document, the Tavern League was really the only organization mentioned as an organization charged to help the DOT change the culture of drinking. And there are many other organizations around the state that certainly have expertise in that realm and could help provide a balanced approach if that's indeed the goal. But my concerns go beyond the Tavern League. The other concern is that the policy documents that have come out of this committee have not been recommending research-based approaches to decrease intoxicated driving, and that's a much greater concern of mine.
Cite, if you could, some specific approaches that you find are lacking in this document.
Well, one example would be to systematically encourage screening of all patients in healthcare settings for risky or problem drinking and to intervene because, essentially, in order for an individual to drive drunk, they need to engage in binge drinking. And there are many studies that show that by simple screening and intervention in healthcare settings, we can reduce binge drinking. A prior study in our state found that these services reduce intoxicated driving and car crashes by about 50%. But I never had the opportunity to bring this suggestion to a meeting. And at the last minute, when policy documents were distributed, there was not really time for additional suggestions to be incorporated before policy documents were due.
I see. I guess lastly, at this point, I mean, you and the other three members have resigned. What, if anything, would you like to see happen as the state continues to try to address this problem?
Well, I would like to see the DOT assemble a committee and engage in a process where the committee is actually balanced, where it represents multiple interests across the state, including individuals who clearly are committed to helping the state reduce its terrible drunk driving problem, and I'd like to see enough time given before meetings and before final approval of policy documents that there is an opportunity for meaningful interchange.
Very good. Dr. Brown, I have plenty to work with here. Is there anything in closing I haven't asked you about you think relevant that that we ought to mention?
Well, perhaps, I don't know if this goes beyond what the committee could accomplish, but one of the most effective things the state could do to reduce drunk driving is to institute sobriety checkpoints. But currently, state legislation denies localities the opportunity to implement such checkpoints. So I don't know if the DOT is in a position to be able to recommend that the legislature reconsider its stance, but that would clearly be one of the most effective things our state could do to address its drunk driving problem.
Very good. Rich, thank you very much for returning the call.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.